Right, so good morning, everybody. This morning I want to share with you my testimony about the things that God's been teaching me this year around the word rest. I'm going to share what I've learned and how I've practically tried to work it out, and then how I feel it's evolved to incorporate a word I believe that is also for the church. So I make no apologies for sharing around the theme that several people have preached before lately, as I believe it's a word that God wants us to take note of, to understand and to act upon. And sometimes we do have to hear things more than once. Back in January, Pastor Richard encouraged us to ask God to give us a one word to help us through the year, instead of making a New Year's resolution, but to find a word that would help us. And my word was the word rest. It was back in December last year that I read a verse that really stood out for me. It was, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." When I read it, I knew it was important, but just how significant, I was yet to find out. So for those of you who don't know me very well, I'll set the scene and put things into context. The last 2 years have been very challenging. Pete's dad was very ill and then died in June last year. And we spent many weekends up and down the motorway looking after Dad and then sorting out his house and all his possessions. My mum, in the October, had a mental and a physical breakdown for caring for my dad. And as a consequence, my dad, who had dementia, went into a care home. And then a few months later, in February this year, unexpectedly passed away. The week of Dad's funeral, we then had a major water leak in our home, 3 days before we were to go off on a special family holiday. And a month later in March, Pete had a routine but a major operation. Now, none of these things are unique to me, and any one of these things is bad enough. But when put together, the emotional and physical battering I experienced was very real. I've known what it is to feel stressed, to be worn out, numb, and hardly able to function at times, and so deeply saddened by the grief. And it's not been easy. And I say that not for you to feel sorry for me, but to share with you that life sometimes can be hard. And it's not always our fault. It's just life. And I know some of you here have also been through hard times or are going through hard times now. But what I want to share with you is that my testimony is that I have a good Heavenly Father. He's gently led me through it all, and I'm gradually coming out the other side, having learned a great deal about myself and God, and I feel God has been preparing me for something. In the One Word book that I read, Mike Ashcroft, the author, suggests that you think about what the word means to you already, and then you look at some Bible verses relating to that word. And then also to be prepared for the meaning of how that word may evolve or expand as God will give you fresh insight and revelation. And for me, it was about his spirit resting on me. And so this is what we're going to look at this morning. So firstly, my initial understanding, what came to my mind was five phrases, and maybe you'll be familiar with these phrases too. The first one is to rest, which means to stop. And initially, I did have to stop some of the things that I was doing. And God amazingly prepared for me an extended period of time away from work so that I could stop work. I had 2 weeks of compassionate leave, followed by the three-week holiday that I'd already mentioned, and that had been booked 18 months earlier. God knew that I needed that time off, away from work and my home, to begin the grieving and the healing process. And a holiday surrounded by Pete's family was just the perfect way to do that. We also had 6 months of enforced rest because our home was turned upside down. So we didn't have meetings and I didn't have people around for meals. During this time, Pete also had his operation, and so we had another time of enforced rest, not rushing around doing things because Pete needed to recover. I say enforced rest because in the natural, I would have carried on regardless. But I now understand, as I look back, that God allowed these things to happen, so I would have to take the time to rest. It's a lesson to us all. If we don't rest, God may well allow a period of enforced rest to happen to us. Are there things that you're doing that are sapping your energy at the moment? They may be good things, but if not activities God is wanting you to do, it will drain you. I've also learnt sometimes we have to stop and then wait. Or you could say, be still and know that I am God. We all know what it's like to have to stop and wait at the traffic lights before we can safely move forwards. And sometimes it's really frustrating when you just have to stop and wait. But we know it's for our own good and for the safety of others. Many times we have to wait for our answers to prayers or changes in our situations. And I know it's hard and it's frustrating, but it's so necessary to wait for God to show us when is the right time to move on. If we try to move out in our own strength, we can easily head off into danger. I've had to learn not to become restless, especially then where there were periods of nothing happening in our house. And I had to come to a place of peace in my mind that God was in control and his timing was perfect. As Joyce Meyer says, he's never late, but he's always on time. Secondly, rest in peace. This phrase has a very special meaning to me because it was so relevant at the time. It's a phrase we use at work when someone has just died. Rest in peace. My dad did die in peace, and that was such a comfort to know. As a family, of course, we were devastated, but we had a peace that we would see him one day again in heaven. And also significantly, I had come to a place of rest and peace in my own mind about Mum and Dad's circumstances, and I'll expand on that later. Can I encourage you to try and find that God-given peace in your circumstance? It does truly pass all understanding. The third phrase that came to mind was, leave the rest. You may start a job and not have time to finish it, so leave the rest for another day. The way I felt God speak to me through this phrase was simply, leave the rest to God. After Dad died, I didn't have the ability or the capacity to continue doing all the things I was involved in, and I knew I had to take a step back and do just what was really important, to prioritise and leave the rest to God. I stopped trying to be all things to all people, and I asked God what I should do to try and find this rest. I still had responsibilities to fulfil, but I began to prioritise things in what I believe is a godly order. God first, my own well-being next, then family needs, followed by work commitments, and then church involvement. Perhaps like you, I usually put my own needs last, and I no longer feel that way now. I understand now that if we put God first and I look after myself and my relationship with God second, I can testify that all these things do fall into place. If I'm not functioning well, family, work, and church commitments all suffer as a consequence. I had to give myself permission to rest and to do so without feeling guilty. And this was probably one of the hardest lessons I've had to learn. We all generally like to be busy and feel being productive is important. But God has taught me we're human beings. We're not human doings. We're human beings, not human doings. We were created first to be in relationship with God. And it does us good to remind ourselves of these priorities from time to time. It stops us from overstretching ourselves. And it reminded me I'm not indispensable. Can I ask you, do you feel you have your priorities in the right order? The fourth phrase is to lean upon or rest on something. During the first few months of this year, I felt so weak, and I truly had to lean on God to get me through the day. And God never let me down. Each day I prayed for strength to cope, and it was given. And I can truly say, in my weakness, he made me strong. I felt in a desert place, and I had to rest there a while, whilst leaning and trusting in God. But as Ed shared a while ago, there's still life in the desert, and if you look for it. And I thank God he has continued to speak to me during this time. Yes, I've had to take time to listen. But do you know what is so beautiful? Is in that quiet, restful, peaceful state, you can hear God much clearer. I wonder how much you and how much I have missed God say in the past because we've just been too busy to listen or to hear. So rest assured is the last phrase. To be at rest because you're assured or you're confident that God is with you and he will guide you through the trial or the circumstance that you're going through. If I'm honest, I found myself oscillating between just hanging in there by my fingertips and then other times so aware that God had me in the palm of his hand. But the assurance I felt came from a trust in God that he would make a way for me where there seemed to be no way. Assurance that God can turn things around for good. An assurance that his plans and promises are not to harm us, but to give us a hope and a future. And an assurance that when I stand on those promises, I can have complete and utter confidence in God and in what he's doing in my life, even if I don't like it and I feel it's taking too long. It was and can be a daily challenge, but it can be achieved if we stay close to God, stay in communication with him, praying and reading the Bible daily, and then our circumstance won't overwhelm us or overtake us. You may be sitting there thinking that sounds so easy in theory. But let me share how I put this into practice. I think you've got the picture that back in December, I was struggling. I was tired, I was worn out, and I was low. I was struggling to see how Mum and Dad being apart in their end days was part of God's plan. They had faithfully served God all their lives, and I wasn't expecting it to end like this. When I look back, I'd forgotten a promise that God had given me for my parents at the beginning of 2016 from Jeremiah. I have plans not to harm them, but to give them a hope and a future. A key shift in my thinking about my parents' situation came one January Sunday morning. We sang a chorus about God being perfect in all he does. And that he is a good, good father. Pastor Richard stopped us and challenged us. In our situations, did we believe this? I couldn't say yes. I didn't believe it. And it took a few hours of wrestling with God. But eventually I did come to a place in my mind where I could say, yes, I do believe. Yes, he is perfect in all his ways, and he is a good father, and I trust him. At the same time, I had a revelation about me being responsible for restoring my soul. Psalm 42, verse 5 says, "Why so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God." I realised it was my responsibility to restore my soul, my responsibility to put my hope in God. What I needed to do was to bring all my worries and concerns before God, acknowledge he was in control and was not out to harm me, but to give me a hope and a future. And then I could bring a sacrifice of praise. As I spoke these words out and declared it before God, I found a place of rest and peace. Despite those difficult circumstances, It was a turning point for me, and it was like a weight was lifted off my shoulders. I still may never know why Mum and Dad had to end their days being apart, but I trust that God knows best. Can you say you have a Heavenly Father who you can completely trust despite the circumstances you're facing? So that was my initial understanding of the word rest. The One Word book then encourages you to look at relevant Bible verses, and I'm going to look at two. And the first one is from Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come. At the time I read these words, it truly sounded like an intimate call of a father to his beloved child, and it's the closest I've come to hearing God audibly. Come. All we have to do is come. We have a choice. He's there waiting to help us. He's inviting us to come. His arms are open wide and he wants to walk through the circumstance with us. It's as if he's saying, come, let's do it together. I want to help you. Let me help you. Come. Maybe today God is saying to you, come. Don't battle anymore on your own. Come. Maybe you've never come to God before. So this morning, don't miss an opportunity to do this. And I would love to speak to you afterwards, or you could speak to a Christian friend and we can help you find God for yourself. I will give you rest. It's a promise from God, and he never lets you down. God knew I needed rest and was offering me a way to find it by trusting and resting in him. It was up to me to accept that help. Fortunately, I recognised this and I took it on board. The problems didn't go away, but I trusted God. And do you know, amazingly, I did find rest in my body. I found rest in my mind, and I found rest in my spirit. The phrase, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, struck a chord. God was wanting to teach me something in preparation for what was to come. The function of the yoke is to make it easier for the oxen to pull the wagon, because the oxen are kept side by side, and in doing so, they share the burden of the work or the load. And if we choose to walk in step with Jesus, our burdens, our battles, our trials and our challenges will be easy in comparison by not walking with him. I've learnt so much over the last few months that I would never have learnt if it was not for the challenges I faced. It's true that we grow more in the hard times than we do in the good times. I've already mentioned a few things, but here are a few more nuggets of truth that I've learnt. I've learnt that resting in the Lord is not necessarily about stopping an activity. It's an attitude, and it's a habit I need to pursue. Pausing during the day to take time out to remember he is God, and bring him into every activity and situation. Resting in God is more than having just a quiet time each day, reading the Bible and praying. It's about being still, not reading, not speaking, but listening. I admit, sometimes I don't hear anything, but what I do know is that I'm in God's presence, and that's enough. The other day, someone asked me what I was going to do with Mum when I planned to visit her. And my mum answered, we're not going to do anything particularly, just be in each other's company. And I think that's what God wants from us, just to be still in his company, enjoying being together. It may include just sitting side by side quietly. It might include sharing a meal or pottering in the garden or going for a walk. It may be reading a book. It doesn't matter, as long as we're aware that God is with us. I'm still learning, and there are days when I forget, but it's an attitude and a habit I'm trying to cultivate. I've learned the desert place I've been in was not the destination, And even though it may have seemed like I was going to be stuck there forever, actually, it was just for a season. And it's preparation or a training ground for the destination ahead. The word gentle really stood out for me. I was fragile and I was vulnerable. And gentle handling was all I was able to cope with. And God has indeed been gentle with me. I'm not saying it's been easy. In fact, it's been quite tough, but never too much. He knows how much I could cope with, and he wouldn't take me beyond that. It's been gentle in the way that God has given me time and space to work it all through, and he's been with me every step of the way. He's never left my side, and at times I felt he's even carried me. He's gently disciplined me when I've gone off course and tried to do things my own way. But he's always brought me back to that place of rest and security. He's spoken many words of encouragement to me through the word and through yourselves. So thank you. So if you feel you're going through a hard patch, let me give you hope that God will gently lead you through if you allow him. That God can give you treasures hidden in that dark place. And you will come into a new season once again when you can experience the good things of life. You will find rest for your souls. I admit, I was out of rest for a time. But God reminded me that when we feel low and downcast, that it's our responsibility to put our trust in God and restore our own souls. And I can truly say, as I took this on board and put it into practice, caring for mum and dad became easier. The burden was lightened. I had a different approach. It wasn't a duty or an obligation to go and visit, but a desire to spend time with them. I had a different attitude, a new confidence that God was in control, and he was not out to harm any of us, but to help us. And I truly was at peace and rest. Your circumstances may be tough, but if you can find God in the midst of them, that will bring you to a place of rest, a lightness in your spirit, and a renewed energy, even a spring in your step, and a restored soul. The other verse I'd like to mention is from Exodus 20, 8 to 12. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labour to do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work, neither you, nor your son or your daughter, nor your manservant or your maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth and the sea and all that was in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. If God knew the importance of rest, surely we should follow his example. It's one of the Ten Commandments. The Sabbath was designed for us to take a break from work and come and set aside a time to worship the Lord, to rest our bodies, and intentionally connect with God. And as with all commandments, they were given for our protection, for our guidance, and our good. This whole area of Sabbath rest has become a revelation to me. And it came through a book that Sally gave me back in March. And I would highly recommend the book by Shelley Miller called Rhythms of Rest. And Christine mentioned it in her preach a while ago. Basically, it's saying the importance of building rest into our busy lives. Regular periods of rest. And yes, even sometimes extended periods of rest for as long as a year. She describes periods of rest like dinner dates with Jesus. It's planned in advance and you prepare yourself to be away from the normal activities and you give yourself undivided time to God once a week. It can also be about intentionally spending time with God whilst doing something you enjoy. It's not about rules of, oh, I can't do this or I shouldn't do that, but it's doing something you want to do and not something you have to do. Sabbath rest trains the heart to find peace despite the circumstances you're in. And in that peace of that rest, we can hear God more clearly. How we spend the Sabbath, be it an hour, half a day or a whole day, will be unique to each of us, and it doesn't even have to be a Sunday. The key is to remember to find some time in the week to actually do it. It's so important that we do rest. Even highly trained athletes have built-in days of rest in their training programs. So for us, it might include a quiet time, but it can be any activity. Going back to Matthew 11, it's whatever makes you feel light inside. It's not a burden. It may be time alone, or it may be shared with others. But the minute it starts to feel like work, it's not a good Sabbath activity. And I think we ignore this at our peril. God put the Sabbath in place to protect us from overwork and from burnout. So, the unexpected meaning. The One Word book says we should expect the word to evolve. And it has for me. And I believe in the light of recent preaches, it's also become a word for the church too. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit resting on me. The power of the Holy Spirit resting on you. A few weeks before we started the Be Still and Know initiative, I felt God highlight a verse from 2 Corinthians. My grace, that's God's favour, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. I was weak. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, insults, in hardship, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Christ's power may rest on me. What does that mean? And what does it look like? During the Be Still and Know initiative, God laid another scripture on my heart from Isaiah 61, and I felt it tied in with this. And then this verse was also preached on by Luke Goodway, who quoted it from Luke 4, and I felt this was a real confirmation to me. And the scripture is, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for captives and release from darkness from prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Once again, the words, "His Spirit is upon me," and the word "favour" stood out. I believe God's Spirit is resting on us, and he has blessed us or favoured us by speaking several prophetic words to us here personally in New Life Church Bristol. Ken's word, that people would be drawn to us because of the presence of the Lord being with us. And Mark Rich's prophetic word about the revival coming to this nation, and that it's going to start in Bristol and it will be in our lifetimes. I believe it. I find it so humbling, exciting, and scary all at the same time. But what I feel is we need to take note. And we need to somehow respond. How does it make you feel? As Pastor Richard preached last week, maybe you're thinking, what has that got to do with me? Revival may mean to you something that happened years ago, somewhere else, to other people. But can you dare to believe it may happen here in Frenchay, and that you and me will be part of it? I looked up the definition of revival. One of the definitions is an improvement in the condition, the strength or fortunes of something or someone, an instance of something becoming more popular or important, and a reawakening of religious fervour. Anita Cleveley from the New Wine podcast on revival this year defined it as a real significant move of the Holy Spirit, bringing conviction and repentance and new birth. I believe as we become more aware of the power, and importance of the Holy Spirit in our lives, or if you like, we improve our spiritual condition, we can be a channel through which the Holy Spirit will move. So how should we respond? You may choose to let it pass you by and just wait and see what happens. Or you may feel stirred that you want to be part of it, but just don't know how or what to do. Can I suggest you start with what you have? Just like the story of the widow in 2 Kings 4. Elijah asked her, "What do you have?" And she said, "Nothing, just a small jar of oil." But as she began to pour that small jar of oil, it multiplied. It was only a little, but it was when she started to do something with it that it multiplied. We can all pray. And if you haven't already, let's start to pray for revival. 2 Chronicles 7 says, "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and I will heal their land." We can all do this. And even if you feel this is all you can do, then do it. And God will begin to increase your faith. Humble yourself. Acknowledge you feel so weak and your circumstances seem to be stacking up against you, but that you want to be part of this revival despite those circumstances. And in your weakness, ask God and expect God to make you strong. Make sure you're not involved with anything that would block the channel of the Holy Spirit working through you. Turn from your wicked ways. Start to pray for revival in Frenchay, in Bristol, and this nation. Practically, get involved with distributing the welcome packs to the new housing estate in Frenchay, and this will help get you motivated and excited and feel included. Secondly, I think it's about strengthening or improving or deepening our own spiritual lives by being more aware of the Holy Spirit resting on us and tapping into that and becoming more attuned to the prompting of the Holy Spirit and then being obedient to act on that prompting. I've come to more fully understand the Isaiah scripture, and though it was a prophecy over Jesus' life, that same Spirit living in Jesus is now living in us. God's power is resting on us. As I was thinking about this whole area of the Holy Spirit working through us, I decided to go to the third person seminars at New Wine, and I would encourage you to listen to them on the podcast. These seminars help me to understand it's not about what we can do for God, but what God can do through us by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's God that works to bring about change in people's hearts. We're just to be a channel that he uses. I feel I'm only scratching the surface around using the gifts of the Spirit. But like this story of the widow in 2 Kings, I feel I should start with what I have and that God would multiply it. I can speak in tongues, so I've become more active in using that gift. And I believe this is strengthening me and making me more aware of the Holy Spirit in my life. I'm asking God to give me other gifts as he decides that are right for me. In Corinthians 12, we read what those gifts are: wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, power to do miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues and interpretation of tongues. I'm waiting patiently for this to happen, and I'm still a work in progress. But part of this is about using what I already have. So I need to be prepared to take hold of opportunities that come my way. And it's about being bold enough to offer to pray for someone. And then all I have to do is ask the Holy Spirit to come and minister into their hearts. There may well be time and effort required afterwards in then discipling these people, but they will be open and ready to change. I found it's only when I step out that more is added. For example, I may feel God put someone on my heart and I think I must contact them. I'm not sure why, but I do it anyway. And it's only as I start talking to them or texting them that the words of encouragement come and they feel blessed and cared for. And it's so simple, really. And you feel encouraged that God has used you and you want to do it again. I also began to think, who are these people? Who are the poor? Who are the brokenhearted, the captives and the prisoners? And how on earth do I reach them? It may be the stranger on the street or the lady at the checkout, but equally and more likely, it might be your neighbour, your friend, your colleague or your family member. We can all share the good news of God to the poor. That's anybody who's in need, whether that's financial, emotional, physical, or spiritually poor because they don't know Christ. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can come alongside people and pray that God would bring healing to those with broken hearts, those who've been hurt by broken relationships, those who've been hurt by deep disappointments, those who are grieving the loss of a child, a sibling, a parent, or a friend. Just this week, my neighbour wanted to tell me her sister had a diagnosis of cancer, and she was shocked, she was scared, and she was truly brokenhearted. So I took the opportunity to pray for them all there and then. It was much appreciated and only seemed a small act of kindness and obedience to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, but I believe it will have a big impact. We can proclaim freedom for captives, for those who are captive to any kind of addiction, or those who can't break free of debt or bad lifestyle choices. And to bring release from darkness to the prisoners, those who might be trapped by their past. Often this drawing to a certain group comes because you've been there yourself. You know what it's like. And you can then comfort them with the comfort that God has given you. And when we break it down like this and we each play our part, together reaching out to the lost and the hurting world around us becomes doable. Remember, we are one body, but with many parts. As we become known as a caring and loving church, where the presence of the Lord fills this church and his people, people are going to be drawn to us. I was so encouraged when Ken prophesied a few months ago that the breath of God or the Spirit of God would fill this place. And I quote from the prophecy, "People would be drawn to us because of his presence with us. And we will bring hope to the lost, faith to the fearful, strength to the weary. And through the Spirit, we will kindle the flickering reeds and the smouldering wicks." This, I believe, is our prodigals, all those Christians who have lost their way. Does that excite you? Are you ready to get involved and be a channel for God? I heard a saying once, revival starts with you. Revival starts with me. It starts with individuals. It starts with you and me deepening our relationship with God, spending time resting in his presence so that we feel empowered to be channels of his love and power to the hurting people around us. I believe it's going to happen, and I believe it's begun. God is clearly speaking to us about what he wants to do through us. God is preparing us to be effective in this community. It started with the Take Small Steps and Inquire of the Lord, and then there'll be Still and Know initiative. And as we now become more attuned to listening and hearing his voice and the prompting of the Holy Spirit, he will move through us more and more to meet the needs of the lost people around us. God has spoken. And so I believe we need to respond individually and corporately as a church. We need to continue to be obedient to his word, but also to prepare ourselves by getting a better understanding of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the Holy Spirit resting on us. In November, Pastor Richard and Ken will be doing some teaching on the Holy Spirit, as Kim mentioned, which I believe is going to be really helpful in equipping us for this time ahead. So can I encourage you to come along to these home groups? This is for all of us. No one is excluded. Before then, choose to make the time, even in the busyness of the day, to try and rest in his presence, so that you can become more accustomed to hearing that still small voice. In the words of Jude 1, verse 20, build yourself up in the faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Use the gift of speaking in tongues. Listen to the prophecy that Ken brought us and some of the recent preachers we've had. Maybe you could listen to the third person or the revival seminars from New Wine. They're on the church's podcast. And beyond this, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know that we're all a work in progress. And I feel God's been preparing me, and he's been preparing you for something new and fresh in the near future. And I do have a feeling that signs and wonders are going to be part of this. But don't get out of rest. Don't get out of peace or be anxious, because Exodus 33 says, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. I understand it might seem daunting, and so out of yours and my comfort zones, but it will take us deeper into the things of God, and that's what I, for one, would like, to grow and mature and be part of this revival in this community, in this city, and in this nation. I truly believe God will lead us one step at a time. So just be obedient to the small prompting of the Holy Spirit and follow that leading. And you know, you'll be amazed where he can take you if you're willing to go. I believe my desert place has been preparation, a training ground for this destination. I believe the same could be said of your desert place too. So in summary, let's take note. God is reinforcing this message to us about taking time to rest in his presence. It's not about stopping what you're doing necessarily, but giving God time in the busyness of your day to stop and to hear and let him speak to you. And in those quiet times, you will hear him more clearly. Be expectant that the Holy Spirit is resting on you and working through you to fulfill his plan and purpose for this community and to be part of the revival in this city and in this nation. I also believe God's favour is on us at this time, so let's enjoy this season. Come to him and let God work through you to bring about revival in Frenchie, in Bristol, in England. And from a place of rest and from a place of peace, not weariness, trouble, and strife.